You just let it play. You just let it go. One of the greats, one of the best of all time, a little Sabotage for the Beastie Boys. It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Our thanks to Frank Bull joining us in our last hour. Victory is mine in Frank Opinions. Thank you. Thank you. Dominant victory there. What did I win by? 10, 12, 15?
At least.
Was one? My people say one. I'm going to take it, though. A big win there. Also, big event going on tomorrow. It is our A10 Cares for Kansas City food drive. You can come by Coaches to help us out. We're going to be broadcasting live there from 10 to 2 right there at 135th and
Grandview.
The cross street there.
Southeast corner.
Southeast corner of 135th and Grandview. After you pick up your canned goods at Aldi, come over to Coaches and drop them off. And while you're there, you can enjoy a homemade meatloaf with mashed potatoes and gravy or a Yankee pot roast with new potatoes and carrots for only $8.10. All their rest of their menu, of course, is available as well. At Coaches, everything made from scratch right there in their own restaurant. And you can book your holiday parties. Let Coaches be the place for your holiday party get-together. I don't even know how many soccer and basketball parties we have had at Coaches. They got a great room and a second room that then comes together and creates one long room. If you got nice weather upstairs on the deck, if you just want a big family get together, they got a great big old table that could probably seat, I don't know, maybe 14, 15, 16 people. All kinds of great spots there at the Coaches. Brian Darby, great friend of the program, great local businessman, great father, as I happen to know him, his lovely wife, great parents, great kids. And a great family, come support them as they support us with our food drive tomorrow. It is a great, great time. It is Coaches, 9080 West 135th is the street address. I'd love you to bring by your canned goods, your donations. Come on by. We'll be there from 10 to 2 and on into the afternoon. A little happy hour festivity. Come on by. So it is going to be a great day tomorrow. So looking forward to seeing everybody out at Coaches. Get your company together. Get as much food together, as much donations, and come by and hang out with us here in the program. So we're going to be broadcasting live there and hanging out afterwards at Coaches on 135th Street. Great spot to watch your college football as well is the Coaches, as they've got all the games on, NFL football. Last night we got the very latest on the college football polls. They are out. The playoff poll, Alabama, Clemson, Miami, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Jake Trotter, college football writer for ESPN, joins us here on our Sprint Guest Line to break it down with us. Jake, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. Just trying to make it through the final couple of weeks here.
Yeah, and what do we think? You got any disagreements with what the – I've got an AP vote. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the whole list whether you got one or not this year or not. But my only difference, I go Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Miami, Wisconsin – Auburn, that's my 1 through 6. So just flip-flop. Miami and Oklahoma is the only difference I've got. I'm curious, do you think they got anything wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the first two playoff rankings were about perfect. I mean, you could argue maybe somebody was a spot too high or too low, but I thought by and large the committee did a great job. I thought Oklahoma was pretty low in last night's rankings. I mean, they have three wins over top 13 teams on a weekend in which Clemson – you know, really struggled with Florida State. You know, Oklahoma put away the number 6 team in the country, put them away by halftime. So, I mean, I think everything else was fine, but I didn't understand how Oklahoma could be 4 and Clemson could jump all the way to 2, unless they just really love that Auburn win now, which I guess is understandable. But, you know, the rest of Clemson's resume, I don't think it stacks up with Oklahoma's.
Is the Big 12, is that what's bogging him down? Is this just kind of the Big 12 hasn't really peed a drop in the playoffs at all so far, and so that history is kind of working against them? They haven't built up enough conference credibility, and that's what's dragging OU down?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the committee had given the Big 12 a decent amount of respect before, you know, last night, but then Iowa State wasn't ranked, West Virginia wasn't ranked. Oklahoma State was down at 13, and TCU was 12. I thought pretty low among the two lost teams. So, I mean, you know, history of the conference should not really matter in these playoff rankings, but, you know, these people are people, and they have their biases. And I think in the past, because of the style of play in the Big 12, where it's offense first and defense last, that, you know, maybe they've been looked down upon. And certainly Oklahoma's defense has not been very good this year. But, I mean, I think of all the units in college football, Oklahoma has the best one. I think their offense is better than any offense and better than any defense. And they have the best player in the country in Baker Mayfield. And, yeah, they have a loss to Iowa State, but I just think their overall resume is pretty strong, especially coming off the weekend in which they beat the number 6 team in the country, 38-20.
Do we have any, you know, I know they bring in the media on a regular basis, you know, a wave of media to go through the process of picking the NCAA tournament so you can see how hard it is to avoid the matchups and S-curve it and do all that. Has there been any attempt to try to do that when it comes to the college football playoffs?
Yeah, they've had mock selections for the college football playoff every year, in fact. And I think they had one, I want to say right before the first playoff ranking, so it would have been like in early October. But, yes, they do that. And what they do is they mock previous years. So, I don't know, one year they looked at 2008, which was kind of controversial year. And I can't remember what year they did this year, but they don't do – the current season, so they don't sit down and you have media members rank these teams because there's really not enough on the plate at the time that they meet. But yeah, they've done kind of something similar.
All right, do you agree that the and I'm not saying that they don't belong where they're at, but that the weakest resume is Alabama's?
Yes. It's going to be really interesting. Let's say Alabama loses to Auburn or Georgia. It's going to be really interesting to see how the committee compares eye test with resume, because Alabama passes the eye test. I mean, they look like the best team in the country. You know, the way that they've put away a lot of, you know, pretty decent teams. But when you really look at the resume overall, the Florida State win doesn't count for anything now.
Right.
You know, Florida State had to schedule a game just to have a chance to get to a bowl in Monroe at the end of the year. You have, you know, I don't know if LSU is going to be in the top 25 at the end of the season. I don't know if Mississippi State is going to be in the top 25. So they would have really one good win, right, which would be Auburn. Or if they lost to Auburn and were sitting there at 11-1, they wouldn't have really any good wins. So it would be hard for them to keep Alabama an 11-1 or a 12-1 Alabama out of the mix. But when you compare at the end of the year with what they've done to a lot of teams, Alabama is not going to stack up very favorably.
Let's do play out a couple of scenarios and tell me how you think. And of course, I'm asking you to project how a group of people is going to react. So, but we're getting kind of a feel of what they do. They do seem to weigh heavily on whatever the quote unquote last data point is. Alabama wins out, they're obviously going to be there. But if Alabama does lose to Auburn and doesn't even get into the SEC championship game, does that resume then reach up and bite them and they're on the outside looking in? Or is Alabama, you know, in regardless now because they can't lose twice, basically?
So which game are you saying they're losing?
Well, I mean, really either way. I mean, if they lose to Auburn, does not getting into the conference championship game eliminate them? Or does the fact that they're sitting at 11-1, and I don't know how far you'd bounce them. We know that Clemson and Miami, somebody's going to take on a loss right there. Is that going to be good enough to get them there? Or no, is it if they get to the SEC championship game and, say, lose to Georgia, they still get in?
I think if they got to the SEC championship game, that would give them a win over a top six Auburn or top five Auburn. And then you lose to Georgia. You know, the problem you're going to run into is that so Georgia is going to have the tiebreaker over Alabama, and you would assume the ACC champ would be in, whether that's Clemson or Miami. If Oklahoma wins out, you would think they'd be the third team, and so it's going to come down to the second SEC or Wisconsin, right? Because you'd have the SEC champ, which would be Georgia. You'd have Oklahoma. You would have to say Clemson, and then it would come down to Alabama or one loss Miami or an undefeated Wisconsin, right? When those that would be the three teams. I'm doing this in my head,
right?
So would the committee, you know, the committee would have to compare Wisconsin to a non-championship Alabama, The problem for Wisconsin is their resume might be even worse at that point. So I think Alabama would still be in. I think if they lost to Auburn, though, you know, you would look at their resume, and let's say Wisconsin beat Ohio State, Wisconsin would have a win that would be better than anything Alabama could claim at that point. Miami would have the win over Notre Dame. You know, an 11-1 Miami. Remember, they had a game canceled because of the hurricane. An 11-1 Miami that didn't beat Clemson would still have the Notre Dame win, which would trump anything Alabama did. So the committee would have a really hard time at that point because, I don't know, top to bottom resumes that would be better than Alabama's, but at least both teams in the mix would have better wins at that point than Alabama would.
When you look at the games that are left, does it look like they're setting up that basically Auburn, Georgia, Alabama is its own playoff for one spot? Clemson, Miami is its own playoff for one spot. Wisconsin, Ohio State is its own playoff for one spot. And it's just the only thing that complicates the process is if OU loses. And then you got to take one of the losers out of that mix that's got to get back in there. Or shove Notre Dame all the way up there.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like right now there's five teams looking at four spots. You've got the SEC champ, you've got the ACC champ, you've got Oklahoma, and then you've got Wisconsin, and then you've got the teams that don't win their remaining games. So like Miami, Alabama, you know, would be in that mix. So, I think what's going to be really interesting is if we have a scenario in which you have six deserving teams, and that's the scenario where Oklahoma wins out, Wisconsin wins out. You have two SEC teams that are deserving, which could be Auburn and Alabama or Georgia and Alabama, depending on how that shakes out, and then two ACC teams that would be deserving, which would mean that Clemson would win out and you'd have an 11-1 Miami that would have one loss to a team that would be in the playoff at that point. I think that would be the challenge for the committee because you'd have really six teams to look at, and I think that you could make a case that any of the six should be included in the top four.
We're talking to Jake Trotter from ESPN, college football writer here on our Sprint Guest Line. That's, I mean, to me, the thing we're all looking for, at least most of us, I can't remember where you sit on this, the doomsday scenario that forces them to change it to eight teams. I give up. I mean, it's not going to happen. I think we're going to go 10 years with four, and I think at the end of the 10-year TV contract, we will get eight, or am I wrong? Does that scenario we just played out there create something? Can you see any scenario that would move it towards eight teams before we get through with this 10-year contract?
Yeah, we needed Notre Dame, I think, to be in the mix for that to happen because then you would have knocked out, you know, two to three Power Five champions out of the playoff. I'm with you. I mean, I think eight is the way to go. People tell me when I make this case that, well, if you go to eight, it diminishes the regular season. And I strongly disagree with that. I think if you had eight and you had the five conference champions automatically go, plus two at-larges, plus a group of five, think about how many regular season games would matter in a way that they don't now. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State, Kansas State is all of a sudden a huge game. TCU at Texas Tech is a huge game all of a sudden. You have all these games that don't really matter much that all of a sudden have playoff implications. So I think if you turn these conference races into games that would include playoff inclusion, and then you had, you know, a group of five teams that all of a sudden, you know, UCF, their games matter in a way that they don't now. All mm-hmm. these things all of a sudden are looked at differently. I think the regular season becomes way more compelling. Now, the one argument I've heard that you know, you don't want like an 8-4 conference champ in the playoffs. You want the best teams. I don't really care about that. I think if you win your conference and maybe you don't win all your games early on in the season, like who cares? You won your conference, you're in, and the at-larges, create the loophole for a team that's dominant and maybe doesn't win its conference championship, but you know would still get in. So I don't understand why people would disagree with that. Or against the 8-team model. There are a couple teams. What is it, two teams that would play an extra game potentially, or two teams that would play two extra games potentially, you know, the teams that would get to the
right
championship. But, like, I think you could create a model that would account for the extra time that they would be involved with football.
Listen, everybody out there wants it. Everybody out there will watch it, and I'm with you. I mean, you can go even deeper. I mean, Washington State, Stanford, and Washington are all now playing games that really matter. Arizona is playing games that matter. USC, I think, actually might have locked up their side of it. So maybe Arizona's
not
alive anymore.
USC, Arizona would have been a massive game last weekend. Nobody cared about it because – it didn't. I mean, who cares about who wins that divisional title in the Pac-12 in a conference that's already done in the playoff? I don't understand that argument that the regular season would be diminished. I mean, it kind of reminds me of when we had the BCS and people were saying, well, playoff would diminish the regular season. I mean, get out of it. I think that's a weak argument. I think this is a weak argument.
Yeah, I agree. And I can't, you know, in combinations of, you know, I'm old, so things blur together. But the book, The System, and then really the book, The Death of the BCS, you know, talks about the old stodgy, old fart white guy, you know, good old boy network that just kept the bowls in place forever. So they finally begrudgingly give this up. This is what I don't get. Is it a time where they've all got to be feeling the pressure of the television network crunch that's going on? When ESPN has said, you know, we've seen that, no offense, but, you know, because it's been awful and I got friends and we've talked about it. When ESPN, which has done nothing wrong, but it's been nothing but a runaway freight train of great sports coverage for years, has to go through the bloodletting just because the dynamics of how, you know, we consume our video, right, for lack of a better word, has changed. You know, I don't think you can be sitting there going, okay, when this 10-year contract's up, we're going to have the bidding frenzy that we've always had for these TV contracts. So with that looming, why don't you make the move and push with your television partners? Look, we're going to make this Arizona-USC game big time. We're going to make NC State-Clemson big time. We're going to make all these games, and not to mention all the games that we know would be huge coming down the stretch run in the Big Ten. Why not reach out to your television partners and go, listen, we know that the technology is changing, and so the ground we're standing on is not firm. Eventually, I think 20, 30 years from now or 10 years from now, whenever, ESPN is going to come out the other side and be a dominant force, and we're going to have better sports TV than we've ever had for because of technology. But who is the dumbass that is holding up what is what everybody wants and is money, which is what that's all they make decisions on in college athletics? Who is this fool that is in the way of what needs to happen to help your television partners increase the ratings and help your game and your sport, particularly when football is under attack? You know, maybe that's not the right word to say, under attack, but a lot of people talking about the concussions and the injury factor. And then we got the FBI investigating college basketball. And, you know, we might not be far behind the FBI in on college football recruiting. When you've got all this stuff out there, why not go help make the game healthier and more profitable? Who is in the way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know we can pin it on one person. I mean, you've got multiple athletic directors and presidents and even football coaches and people involved with the college football playoff and the selection committee who would all disagree. And it's just going to take a while, like it did with the BCS and people like you and I and, you know, Dan Wetzel, he was the one that wrote the death of the BCS book. I mean, people like that are just going to have to make the case. But, I mean, I even, you know, I talked to people, you know, I was on the ESPN college football podcast last week, and I was arguing for 18, and both people that were with me disagreed. And there's just a lot of resistance to it right now that's just going to have to be overcome. But I think it will be overcome eventually because it makes too much sense. Now, in 5 years, if we go through another radical conference realignment, maybe the landscape looks different. Maybe four makes sense. Maybe if you have four super conferences, then maybe it makes sense to have a playoff that way. But it seems ridiculous to me that you could have a season in which two of the five major conferences are not part of the playoff because of a committee and what they how they feel about certain things.
I'm curious, what was the reason against the eight that you ran into on the podcast? I didn't hear the podcast. I've heard that podcast is a good one.
The regular season would be diminished, and then also that you would have a team not deserving of being in the playoffs, like an 8-4 Pac-12 champ, which, you know, could happen in certain years. Or like, I mean, this year you could have like a 9-3 West Virginia that could somehow sneak into the title game and beat Oklahoma. But I mean, I think that's fun. I think that would be cool to see, you know, teams get hot at the right time and make runs. I mean, how great is the college basketball March Madness tournament?
Yeah.
I mean, who cares about the regular season? What matters is, you know, the 64-team tournament. But it would be different for college football because the way you would get in would not be through a committee that would rank teams 1 through 16 in each region. You would have teams that would have to earn it on the field, which would make all these games, I think, a lot more compelling.
Yeah. I go even further. I think 16's the right number to give all the conferences. Now, if they're going to break away and send the Sun Belt and the American and Conference USA and Mountain West packing and going to form their own D1, okay, fine. Then we can make it work with 8. Unless, like you said, if you get to the super conferences, okay, then all four of their conference championships are basically the semifinals, and so that's your 8 team, and we would kind of get what we need. But short of that, if we're going to maintain this, then it's time to make some changes. All right, real quick, I want to ask you about coaching searches. Florida and Tennessee have already let their coaches go. Yeah, this is, and I know coaches hate that, and you should finish the year in Nebraska's AD said Riley deserves to finish the year. Look, $3-5 million a year with all the perks and benefits they get, they can wipe their tears of being fired early with their $100 bills that are being stuffed into their pockets with these jobs. This is the way to go, right? It may not be pretty, but Florida and Tennessee are doing what they got to do to try to get in line for whoever the best head coach is. I got my theory. It's Chip Kelly. But, I mean, that's what you got to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think in both situations, particularly Tennessee, it was clear what was going to happen. So why wait? I mean, you might as well start the process now, particularly if you feel like you have a strong interim you can place in there to kind of manage things, you know, for now until the end of the season. You know, with Tennessee, they're probably not going to a bowl game. They might even be ineligible for one. So, yeah, it may make sense to me for them to do what they did.
All right, so do you agree, like, do you put any credibility to Jimbo Fisher? For whatever reason, his name always comes up, and they're mentioning that A&M's already talking about that they're going to look at him after the year. You put any credibility that Jimbo Fisher wants to leave Florida State?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay. Scott Frost, is he as big a candidate as everybody thinks he is for Florida, or is Nebraska got him in their pocket?
Yeah, man, I think it's going to be Florida and Nebraska for Scott Frost. You know, Florida is a better job. I think it's just a question of how much better. And Nebraska's got some real limitations, I think, in recruiting and just sort of the trend of the program, which is not going the right direction over 30 years now. You know, he's obviously, you know, has an affinity for Nebraska, having been a quarterback there. But, you know, at some point, you know, there might be a better position for him. So I think Florida is going to be interested, and Frost is just going to have to decide which of the two he feels like is better for his career.
All right, and then Chip Kelly, is he the number one dog for a lot of people, or am I viewing it wrong?
Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows?
Okay.
You know, we heard this last year and nothing happened, but I wouldn't say it's definitive that he's going to end up at any one of these jobs. You know, Dan Mullen at Tennessee, I think, is a real strong possibility. You know, we talked about Frost going to Florida. So, you know, where does Chip Kelly go? Is he going to go to Texas A&M if they decide to move on from someone? I mean, I would be skeptical that would happen. So not impossible, but
well, I hope you don't like corn if Scott Frost ends up at Florida, because the state of Nebraska will burn, in my opinion. I don't know what they'll do if they don't get him, if he's available and they don't get him. Final Four time brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Jake, four quickies. Just tell me the first thing that pops into your head. How long has Nick Saban coaching at Alabama?
5 years.
Okay. Will the Big 12 exist in 10 years?
I'll say no.
Okay. Your favorite Thanksgiving side dish is what?
Stuffing.
Oh, very cool. And the national championship, national champion this year will be who?
I'll go with it to Alabama. It's pretty boring, but.
Yeah, that is boring, but generally right.
Probably
so,
right.
Yeah, so I can't hate on you. Hey, Jake, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it. Great stuff as always, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, no problem, anytime.
All right, Jake Trotter from ESPN. Breaking down the college football playoffs. We'll take a break. Open up the phone lines here for a little bit. Talk a little more college football. 913-3810-810. Maybe a little K-State basketball. Haven't had a chance to talk about their game last night. Open up the phone lines. 913-3810-810. You're in the program.